Praise the Lord. Jean's got a testimony she wants to give us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I have.
I want a microphone for that one.
You want a mic?
Everybody on the internet wants to hear it.
No pressure, Gene.
Did the internet finally get all the messages that are backlogged?
Yes, indeed they did.
All right.
Well, I did. I haven't been doing all the Wednesday night ones. So.
And how many hits on the website since the last time that you?
Well,
200.
It's up to almost 2,000.
So this anybody great, that gets the internet, this will be on the internet.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, people. My name is Gene. I'm the pianist at New Life Church, and I play the keyboard sometimes. Today in Waco, Texas, my oldest son and his wife had a baby, so that makes me a great grandmother. My grandson, what did I say?
Your son.
My oldest grandson, yes. And his wife had a baby. Chris and Sarah had a little boy. His name is Tyler Lee Perkins, is their last name. My memory's gone. Tyler Lee Perkins. And he weighed 8 pounds and 7 ounces. And the mother and the baby are both doing fine. And I plan to go visit him sometime this summer.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Yep.
Praise. Go ahead, Richard.
Patrick gave me a birthday surprise Monday night. And he took me over to the Colorado Mills Mall. And I didn't know what we were doing, but we got into this machine that I thought was kind of like a roller coaster. And as soon as they closed the door, I said, "Patrick, you know I hate roller coasters." And but it turned out it was no roller coaster. It was a NASCAR racing car, and it felt like we were going 200 miles an hour, round curves, and I had such wonderful time, and it was so much fun that I'd like to do it again sometime.
Amen.
And I'm all packed.
Richard, you always were a racy kind of guy.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Then let's pray real quick. I don't have a lot, but, you know. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your insight, Lord, and for you leading us and guiding us into truth by the Holy Spirit. Tonight we ask you for your words to come forth, Lord. Let it not be my words, my ideas, or my thoughts. Let it be from you, Lord. And let the word go in, sink deep in our spirits tonight, Lord. Let man's word fail and die, and your word be sealed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? I do have a testimony. When Barbara came on Tuesday morning, she was so upset about everything that had happened with Phil and everything. She told me she almost came back Friday because she was so upset and really just needed to talk and, you know, so forth. And I said, "Barbara, sit down. It's not important that you get this work done right now." I said, "Just sit down." And I was able to share with her, as a matter of fact, from the scriptures we'd had Sunday morning. And I think I was going over, Luke 12, I believe it was. And I had just finished reading the whole chapter and had gotten a lot out of it the day before, and I was able to share that with her. And I know that she's not a Christian, but she understands Christianity because she's gone to an Assembly of God church, even though she's Catholic. And I shared with her that if God cares for those flowers enough to give them such beauty, and if he cares for the ravens, then he's going to care for you, honey. And I was able to share with her, and we prayed, and it was just beautiful. Even though she didn't, all of her fears aren't alleviated, she knows that she can call me anytime now, and that we can talk like that. So that was a real blessing for me able to minister like that.
Praise the Lord. Fears can't be alleviated until you know the one who dissolves all fears and who brings peace. And I'm sorry, you can't have peace when you're not serving God. You can't, because your father's the devil. And that may seem hard, and that may seem too black and white, but that's the truth. in the scripture, if you look at the scripture, and I think almost everybody here knows it, if not everybody, that to the people who are not saved, they don't even exist in God's eyes. Jesus died for them, but it's their choice that's keeping them from the good things of God. Now, like I say, there are some laws they'll operate in, but that's all they'll have. When they leave here, they'll have nothing. And, you know, we want to give up what we can't keep to gain what we can't lose. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm stirred tonight by a situation and you know, things that I see all around me in many instances, some inside this house and some outside this house. And I want to start with 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Familiar scripture to everybody. And let's just see what it says. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And I found it interesting when I looked all that up. I didn't write it all down, but if you want to look at something very interesting, look at that scripture in the concordance. Very, very interesting. Now, if you will, turn with me to Mark 4:19. Casting all your care on him because he cares for you. What that literally means is that he takes the care on himself. And care means anxiety. That's one thing that did come out in my looking it up. It means anxiety. And of course, anxiety is fear and torment, disillusionment, which is what Barbara's going through. Mark what? Mark 4:19. Well, I'm not going to look it up. I have it written down. So here's what it says. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's out of the New King James. Now, 1531 is in the concordance for entering in. And what that means and what that says basically is the affections entering the soul. We all know that the mind, will, and emotions are part of the soul nature, which the Bible says is in Jeremiah 17:9, desperately wicked. Amen? And so we need to understand that the heart is deceitful above all things. And the heart is the cradle of your being. It's the soul nature, the personality that you have. And it's what holds the emotions and sometimes lets the emotions get out of control. Once again, I remind everybody, emotions are not right and they're not wrong. It's what we allow the emotions to do to us, or whether we allow the emotions to have control or we control them. Amen? Okay? And then in 1846, choke means to throng one so as to suffocate him. To throng one so as to suffocate him. What?
Throng.
It'd be the same thing as being, you know how sheep, when an enemy comes in, gather all together real tightly? They're overwhelmed. They gather together tightly. Throng means overrun. Would that be an adequate definition? Now, why am I saying all this? It is amazing to me in this day and age how dull the church has gotten. People who know God, people who confess God, who confess the power of God. In other words, they have a knowledge of God, but they deny the power that he has and the power thereof. This particular situation is one. There's a person who is out of control. They claim to be a Christian, but their actions don't line up with the Word. And the one who is serving God in this situation, the other party, has totally... Let me ask you a question. How many know that sometimes love demands that you do the right thing even though it's not comfortable? And I asked this person the question. I said, do you love this individual enough to do what's right and save them? Well, I'm not going to do that. Then what you're saying is you love you and your comfort more than you love them and trying to save them or help them. Do you see where I'm coming from? The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. The natural man and the spiritual man, or the spirit, the nature and nature of man and the spirit are enemies. They won't come together. One is on an intellectual level. We've discussed this already. I preached a message not long ago about how the intellect of man will kill the Word of God. It'll kill the Word of God.
See, you don't want to cause pain or hurt for that individual because you don't want to have them think ill of you. Well, I would ask the question, who do you fear? The one that can take your life or kill you, or the one who can take your name out of the book of life? My Bible says, your Bible says, no greater love has any man than a man lay down his life for his friends or his brother. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a child. Your Bible says when you see a brother taken in fault, restore such an one. And where we get this ludicrous idea, well, I can tell you where we do. You just look out in our politics. Our politics is a good example. Men who stand up and say, I almost puked when I heard Hillary Clinton say, my faith got me through. If that lady's got any faith, I'm not aware of it. Now, I'm not here to judge, and I'm not passing judgment on her, but I'm telling you right now, the garbage and the things that we know have been done in her life and that she and her husband have done, if that's faith, honey, I don't want any part of it. Because it's not faith in the God I know. Because He won't associate with that kind of garbage. Well, you're banking on something that you got a lit stick of dynamite in your hand. Anyway, in 1 John 2, verse 16... You want to turn there. 1 John 2, verse 16. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's one that keeps me in line. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. My heart breaks. I'm closely associated with these individuals. And when I see this kind of stuff going on, I think, dear Lord, how can you say you know God? And it, you know, your Bible says, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? In Proverbs, it talks about a man heeding and listening to wise counsel, seeking out wise counsel. I spent a lot of years in the prison system of Colorado. And I spent a lot of years in the ministry, as you all know. And I'm telling you right now, those who heed the counsel of God, not man's wisdom, but the wisdom of God, are the ones who find salvation. And those who don't end up staying right where they're at or, you know, never being free to begin with. It's amazing how we have our own ideas and thoughts and how they don't line up with the Word. And it's all based on our comfort, which is what? Selfishness. It's all about me. And we all know that we're not here for me. Amen. We're here for Him and His will and His kingdom. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 5:12. Patrick, I probably should have had the other mic on tonight. Verse 11. We'll start with verse 11 and we'll go down. Woe to those who rise early in the morning. They may follow intoxicating drink. Who continue until night, till wine inflames them? The harp and the strings, the tambourine and the flute, and wine are their feasts. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of His hands. And what I have here is they do not regard the work of the Lord. Proverbs 1, 5 and 7. Proverbs 1, 5, and 7. And I can tell you in this, I check myself too. Sometimes we settle for the comfort at the expense of others. Or sometimes we protect the guilty, as we've talked about before, at the expense of the innocent. And we're not doing them any good. I asked the question of this individual. I said, do you love that person enough to do what's right for them? And the answer came back, I'm not going to do it. And the problem is, what's been happening is because they have not done what they needed to do in time past, the problem grows worse every day. I don't understand that. I'm sorry, I just don't. That does not compute. Verse 5, Proverbs 1, verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, in verse 6, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now God says they're fools. Now I want to read to you some scriptures that I had Patrick look up because I couldn't find them in my concordance that I thought about on the way here, or in my little Bible here. Matthew 13:15.
Matthew 13:15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And then Acts 28:27 again says, For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears of hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And then again in Isaiah 6:8-10. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. God said, Go tell this people, keep on hearing, but go tell, go. And tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.
Sometimes, and this is what I say, this is the height of selfishness. Even though it may benefit somebody to go and tell them the truth. And you don't have to be mean. But sometimes, you know, I remember reading Dr. Dobson's book when the kids' mom and I were facing divorce. And one of the things that I did wrong was the fact that I went and said, please don't do this, please don't do this. And I begged, which did nothing more than give her more control over us. Empowered her to be the way she is. And it wasn't until you finally back off and say, this is what I'm going to do. I don't want to do this, but I got along before you came along. I'll get along after you're gone. And you take that, you cause them to give them a moment of pause to reflect. Sometimes love has to be tough. I didn't say mean or harsh, but it has to be tough. Sometimes people need to be shaken into reality.
Isaiah 1:18-19. Isaiah 1:18-19.
Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now I see that as a promise that says that if you will heed what I tell you, and you'll understand, and you'll do it my way, there's healing. There's deliverance. Would anybody here not agree with that?
Yes.
But you got to do it His way. Remember, there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are what? The end of the ways of destruction. Not one person here, I think, likes to be in a confrontation or likes to be in a place where they have to make a decision that's hard. But the point is, no greater love hath any man than he lay down his life for his friends or his brother. That means you got to put yourself aside and you got to do what's right, whether you understand it, whether it feels good or not. And there may be some times when it doesn't feel good. But is that person, no matter whose life we're talking about here, worth that kind of sacrifice? After all, what did God sacrifice for you? What did He sacrifice for me? He deemed us worthy, and we're the biggest stinkers that ever walked. Right? And it's all summed up. It's all summed up in 2 Timothy 3:2. I may read a little more than that, but it's in 2 Timothy 3. And I know this is a pretty familiar scripture to most everybody here too. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, the very scripture we've talked about, there it is, 2 Timothy 2:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, the Bible says, turn away. Your Bible tells you that God won't always strive with man. And he also asked the question back in the Old Testament. He says, if God's God, serve him, and if Baal's God, serve him. You can't love two masters. How can you say you love God and hate your neighbor? That's right, you can't. That's basically what we do sometimes when we'd rather go the easy way out rather than taking a stand that may save somebody's life. I can't tell you the amount of people that I've seen in the prison system of Colorado and individuals who have gone to jail that God has gotten a hold of their lives and turned them around. And that's the very, if you will, kick in the head that got their attention that took them out of their garbage. Now, I'm going to tell you of an example in my life, which most of you probably know. My son. One night, he was so out of control that I ended up slapping him. I didn't hit him with a fist. I slapped him. It took him back so hard, of course, right away, he's saying, oh, man, you broke my jaw. Well, no, I didn't because I didn't hit him that hard. But he was out of control. His mouth was out of control, and I told him, you're not going to talk like that in front of your grandmother, your sister, and your aunt. And I believe that slap saved his life. I really believe that. The fact that I stood up and said, we're not going to have this. This is for your good. It hurt. It hurt me. It may have hurt him physically for a moment, but it hurt me. But then he turned around and he wound up, because of his foolishness, he had to pay the consequences, which I had taught him from the time he was a small boy, and my daughter also. Don't play the game if you can't pay the price. Your actions will cause consequences, good or bad. So, young person, like most of us, maybe not to this extreme, thinking they're smarter than God and dad, mom and dad and everybody else, goes out, doesn't pay his tickets, doesn't go to court, and ends up in the county jail. See, what we don't understand is sometimes the experiences and the things that we suffer is what builds the character in us and pulls us into the place where we understand that we need to obey God. It saves us. Sometimes we don't like to think about that. If I can just be funny for a minute, I remember a big man, if everybody knows, saying, what you gonna do? Well, no, that's a police program. But this guy used to have arms as big as, his name's called Hulk Hogan. And he said, what are you going to do when these arms wrap around you? What are you going to do? When God says something, are you going to obey or are you going to disobey? Your Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And are you willing to see the outcome you want at the expense of your feelings or your feeling good? Or will you let somebody perish? Sometimes the truth doesn't feel very good. But you know what? I thank God that I have a Father who says that I chasten my sons. He calls me a son, and he chastens me, and that lets me know he loves me. It's not comfortable, but it's productive and profitable for the kingdom and for me. Amen? Some of the decisions we have to make are not comfortable. What I had to do tonight was just walk away and say, God, I put it in your hands. I commit all the care of this in your hands. And let me tell you, there's been a couple of times since the time I said that I got thinking about it. I said, no, I'm not going there. Like my son, when I finally surrendered my son to God and said, God, he's in the safest hands he can be, and then God took control when I backed off. But the point is, when you know to do good and you don't do it, the Bible says that is sin. God said that. I didn't say that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. For years and years, I was taught, my sisters and I were taught, you don't close the barn door after the cow's already escaped. It's too late. A little country vernacular, but very sound wisdom, very sound doctrine. Don't close the barn. It's too late to close the barn door once the cows have escaped. Deal with it. I believe there's a scripture that talks about dealing with things while it is yet day, bringing in the harvest while it's yet day, while you still have daylight. Amen? Nobody said this Christian walk was a piece of cake, but God said with the Holy Spirit and Jesus that he'd walk through it with us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And even though it may hurt, it may not be comfortable, on the other end is profitability and salvation, not only for the person who's involved, but for you too, because you obeyed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Enough said. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit says to the church. Or churches. That's us. That's us. It's not this building. It's us.
That first scripture you referred to, 1 John.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You said that was one of your favorite scriptures?
It wasn't the first scripture, but it was John, 1 John 2:16. Yeah.
You said that's one of your favorite.
Yeah.
And when I read it tonight, it was like I'd never read it before.
Praise the Lord. See, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. How many know that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? There's only one way to go, folks, and that's doing it God's way. There is no other way. And you don't barter or bargain with God. You know, people get irate when they say, well, it's got to be your way or the highway. Yes, thank you, because what I want is what God wants. And it is black and white, Donna. And I know you're in a place where you need the help of God, so I'm not talking about that, but we are black and white. That's the way we need to be. One of the things that's my pet peeve right now, talked about it several times, is that right now in our society, we protect the guilty at the expense of the innocent. We do it in church. We do it in society.
I heard Dr. Dobson on today, and he had a speech, actually, that President Reagan did like on the 40th anniversary of D-Day. So that would be like 1989 or something like that, right? And it was all about, you know, the bravery of the man who had gone like onto Omaha Beach and over there on D-Day and stuff. And afterwards, Dr. Dobson said, you know, they don't teach this stuff in school anymore. They teach about, you know, the oppression of slavery. They teach about all the bad things we did to the Indians. But they don't teach about the bravery and about the fact that America went over there at the height, at her very best, and liberated these people. Right? We weren't going in to take over the country. We had no other motive other than we were liberating an oppressed people in Germany, in France, you know, Europe. And he said, they don't teach that in school anymore. And it was interesting because I was thinking, you know, yeah, because there's lots of people out there who will talk about the oppression of slavery and the oppression of the Indians, but there's nobody who will speak up like for the brave. You know, they're either dead or they're dying off so quickly, these war veterans, that, you know, there's just not a big enough special interest group, if you want to call it that, that teaches what real patriotism and bravery really is.
Well, what about all this teaching about slavery when it was my if anything else, it was my ancestors? Somehow I've been freed, so I mean...
Because it's the special interest group for the blacks to keep reminding them and us that they were oppressed and they have special interests, they have special rights. It's the same way with the Indians. Why would you, as a people group, want to be relegated to this trash piece of ground in the middle of nowhere and not be allowed to go to regular schools, regular universities, just because somebody feels bad about how they treated you? No. When they could say, no, I'm off the reservation, I'm off the welfare system, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to raise my kids and put them through school like ordinary anybody else, because that's what they are. They're ordinary anybody else. Right? And yet they choose to buy into this lie that somehow we owe them something.
I get really upset when somebody says, well, you owe me. And I said, excuse me, but my family was Irish and they came over here and they were pretty well beat up when the Irish came over here. Yeah. Sign said, no Irish need apply. I said, we were pretty well brought over here as subservient.
Just tell them the truth. Yes, I owe you. Nothing but love. And here's the love I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the truth. A
couple things I want to remind us of. First of all, we were dragged into the Second World War. I'm reminded of what the Admiral Yamamoto said. I fear all we have done has awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. But I want to remind you one thing else in this equation, too, that I didn't talk about. Anybody who will look up the word witchcraft will find manipulation involved with it. And a person who exercises, whether they know it or not, that kind of control over a person that can cause them to feel, I don't want to hurt this individual, that's because they exercise, in some cases, if not all cases, manipulation, which is witchcraft, over that person, where they'll obey God, obey the... What's that?
Unusual influence.
That's perfect, perfect.
It's also the root word for pharmaceutical.
Yes, yeah. And that's the point. What they do is they cause somebody to choose a side that's against God, that's not God.
They change what the reality is into something.
Into a lie, and then they believe the lie. And the Bible says how much darkness comes when the lie becomes the truth, and the truth becomes the lie.
Well, look at our society nowadays. There is no black and white anymore. If you really look at it, it's all gray.
No.
And therefore, it's okay.
Truth and right are what I perceive. I have my rights. I mean, for years, the smokers would come out and say, well, I have my rights to smoke. And then they all stood there batting their eyes like a frog in a West Texas hailstorm saying, why do we have to pass a law to, you know, keep me from smoking or in certain places? It's because you didn't honor the rights of other people.
Well, that's right. They're very quick to insist on what their rights
are.
But they don't want to then. Yeah, they don't want. That's right. But it's always got to be at the expense of somebody
else. And I will tell you something else, too. That is the very core and the very deep river that runs right through, and the river of logic that runs right through the gays and lesbians of this day and age. And it's wrong.
And they want to shove it down our throat.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this? Praise the Lord.
I have a question that doesn't really even relate to any of this.
Okay.
Arthur asked me, and I honestly didn't know because I don't think it's a Christian principle. I think it's more of a world church type of principle. What are the seven deadly sins? Because that's not in the Bible. I tried to look it up. The seven deadly sins.
There's only one deadly sin.
Gluttony.
No.
There's only one sin. No, no. He wants to know what are those that call themselves the seven deadly sins.
Well, that I can tell you that I don't see anything in the Word. I will tell you that any kind of disobedience will ultimately result in death, or can ultimately result.
There's something that people refer to as the seven deadly sins.
Well, they're wrong.
You know them.
They're wrong. I don't know anything in the Word. If somebody knows something.
I'm not questioning whether they're wrong or not. I told him. I said it's not a Christian principle.
That's exactly right. There's only one sin that's deadly, and that's rejecting Jesus.
Okay, I know that. But do you know what those are?
That's what he said. There are none. There are none. Deborah, you're not following me.
No, I'm following you. I just need to answer his question.
Well, and that's the answer. There are none. There are people's opinions, and then there's the truth of God.
There's only one deadly sin. There's only one. There are no seven. People refer to something that's not there.
I know. And he knows that. He just wondered what those were.
That is not scripture.
No, not scripture.
That's what I told him. And
I've heard that before, too.
There's actually a movie called The Seven Deadly Sins.
Yes, and I think that was something he was just looking for. What were those that they considered?
Well, I don't know what people consider them because I've never thought about them. If I can't find it in the Word, I don't entertain it. The only basis I have to go on is what the Word says. These other people come up with these ideas, I don't even entertain that.
Yeah, I went through a couple of things. I said, honey, it's not a biblical. This is it's got to be a Catholic or something type deal because it sounds like something they would do.
Yeah.
If we focused on the one fact that rejecting Jesus is the only sin that will cause us death or take us to hell, then that in itself would be so liberating and cause hopefully great freedom and cause a change in our life. So, praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your heart and your word. We thank you that you have our best interest at heart according to your word. And we thank you for revealing yourself and your heart in this tonight. We pray, Lord, that we would make the right decisions no matter how uncomfortable, because it means the life of somebody else. And since you've made it very clear to us in this house, Lord, that it's not about us, it's about others, and it's about your will and your plan and your desire, Lord, and your kingdom, that we'd surrender to that which we know is right and reject that which we know is wrong and against you. Seal your word in our hearts once again. We thank you for it. Go with us. Cause your word to grow. Cause the seed that's been planted to bring forth fruit. And we thank you for it and give you honor and praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen.